Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you found time in your schedule to spend these next few minutes together. As we continue on in a message I began last week on the presence of the Lord, there's nothing more wonderful than being in God's presence. As beautiful as heaven is going to be, there'll be nothing greater for the child of God than to be able to look upon the face of his Savior, praise God, or her Savior. He is the one who gave everything for us, not to mention being with our loved ones, and as David said, their pleasures forevermore at his right hand. So we can't fully imagine all the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But we want to be able to experience God's presence in greater and greater ways in our lives, in our church services, where we're not just having a form and a program and a ritual. We need God's presence to come and to convict sinners of their need of a Savior. That's what revival is all about. Beloved, we need the presence of the Lord. And this is just a simple message, but it's the lessons that David learned when he brought the ark to the city of David as he began his reign as king over the united Israel, both Judah and Israel. And so we have to understand that God has ways that we need to approach him, and the word is very specific about that. But what David learned after that first catastrophic attempt to bring the ark on a cart, that you have to first of all be aware of the holiness of the Lord. You see, because of that presumption, Uzzah died before the presence of the Lord, and David stopped. He stopped the parade right then and there, and it stayed 3 months in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite while the priests learned and studied what is the proper way to carry the ark, which was on the shoulders of the priest. So repentance is an extremely important part of our walk in God, to realize if we say that we're without sin, beloved, yes, I know the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But John said also, when we sin, we do have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who forgives us our sin and cleanses us from all iniquities. John said, you're a liar if you say you don't have any sin in you. As long as we are in these mortal bodies, even though our hearts are to love God and serve him and walk in a way pleasing before him, we fail because we're in a fallen world. We still are subduing our carnal nature, and sin is ever present in our physical bodies. That's what Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? He goes on to say, I thank God through Jesus Christ. And so the word of the Lord tells us, for thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And remember when Moses had his encounter with God at the burning bush after 40 years herding sheep in the desert wilderness, the Lord tells him, draw not nigh thither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Scriptures tell us that the wicked will perish at the presence of the Lord. All nature trembles. In Jeremiah, speaking of the false prophets, he said, "I will forsake you and cast you out of my presence." In the 21st chapter of Jeremiah, the Lord is speaking to his rebellious people Israel, and he says, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence?" And then in Ezekiel, the 38th chapter, verse 20, this is, of course, referencing the latter days, the invasion of Gog into Israel. The word says, there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake. Do you believe the word of the Lord? Do you suppose that's an exaggeration, or do you suppose that's literal? Do you suppose he means what he says? All men shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. They shall know I am the Lord. And then in Nahum, that first chapter, verse 5, the mountains quake at him, and the hills melt. The earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. So, beloved, it is important that we have a contrite and a humble heart, a humble spirit, and that we are continually seeking the Lord for repentance from all iniquity, every sin, that we are aware of his holiness. And then, of course, the final thing, and these are really, they're not, you really can't separate them out because they're all intertwined, and that is obedience. We have to do it God's way. And we want to look at the 15th chapter of 1 Chronicles because we see that, as David mentioned, he said, he was speaking to the Levites, he said, we didn't seek the Lord after the due order. And so the children of the Levites, they then, in obedience to the written word of God that God had given to Moses on the mount, they bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. And so obedience is extremely important if we want God's presence. We have to do it God's way. We have to be aware that we're serving a holy and an awesome God. So often people, they don't want to read the Old Testament because, oh, he's a God of anger and wrath. Well, the very nature of God has not changed. We are in a season of grace. God has extended his mercy through the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his ascension to sit now at the right hand of the Father. But as a man sows, he will reap. And God is continually, especially in this time we're living, the harvest fields are ripe, beloved. God is moving to draw souls to him. Those who are afar off, those who once walked with God, they may be backslid, they might be back out in the world, or sinners who never have known the goodness and the mercy of God. That's why he says, taste and see in his word that the Lord is good. He's not willing that any should be lost. People say, well, why would a loving God send people to hell? Well, no, he doesn't. What determines a man or woman's eternal destiny is the act and choice of their will. If they choose not to accept Jesus, if they choose not to accept the only way of salvation, the only way to have fellowship with the Father, to be with our loved ones, man, the spirit of man is eternal. You're going to spend eternity somewhere, beloved. But if we reject the mercy and kindness of the Lord, those who are unrepentant, who are rebellious, who are wicked, how could God let them in heaven? Heaven would no longer be heaven, because heaven is a place of perfect love and harmony and beauty and the presence of the Lord. That's, beloved, because of my burden and heart to see revival, and revival starts with God's people. We have to be revived, and then we will see sinners come in. Praise God. And so when we obey the Lord and act according to his word, it not only brings joy by our act of of obedience. As I read, the Lord was helping the Levites, but the Lord helps us. And then in the 16th chapter of 1 Chronicles, there's a Psalm of David that is recorded, and it's absolutely beautiful. I'll read portions of it, and it is so comprehensive. It covers the attitude of our hearts, it covers our thoughts, our speech, and our actions. Praise God. So let's take a moment and look at 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, and I'm going to start with verse 8. In fact, let me share 7 as a way of prelude. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Those are the worshipers. And it begins, "Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make his deeds known unto the people. Give thanks unto the Lord." Beloved, Thanksgiving is not just something we celebrate on a day of the year, but for a Christian, Thanksgiving should be a part of our day-to-day lives. Ephesians, in the 5th chapter, this is the New Testament now, verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And if you're wanting to know the will of God, beloved, yes, there's many specific and detailed ways in terms of the general will of God is displayed in the Word of God. But this is very definitely something we need to be doing every day of our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Why? Because the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. He causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Well, there's more I want to share. I just absolutely love this psalm that David shared. We can learn a lot, and I pray that Thanksgiving will be a part of your life, that you'll be able to call upon the Lord, thank him for all his bountiful benefits to you. And if you do need prayer, because all of us, let us never think we're in a place that we're beyond prayer, let us, for those of you who have needs, if the Holy Spirit's moving on you, let us share those needs, and I will pray for you personally. I'm the only one who answers the mail. I will send back what God gives. Thank you so much for joining me. I pray for you every day, and I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.